NFL National Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good, good. Good to have you with us. Just looking at one of your numerous articles, but you had some trade grades going on with all the trades going on before the NFL trade deadline on November 5th. And we could start with the Ravens there, because now they've got Deontay Johnson in that trade from the Panthers. They're trying to load up, right? That's what you have in your headline.
Yeah, they needed a boost at that number two receiver spot, or at least a little more depth there. I mean, they temporarily lost Zay Flowers last week, and probably had some nightmares of what life would be like without him if he ever went down for an extended period of time. So getting Deontay Johnson sort of reinforces that depth chart, and they paid minimal to do it. I mean, they're going to pay the balance of his salary. It's going to be like $3.5 million the rest of the way or something thereabout. And all they had to do was basically drop back, 15, maybe 20 spots in the draft, depending on the compensatory formula, just to bring him in. I mean, Johnson hasn't been a perfect player in his career, but at his best, he's been a big-time playmaker. And, you know, just another piece that could help the Ravens get over the hump.
Jeff, where does this leave Carolina, though? I mean, it feels like you start trading away pieces like this, and it's starting to feel like that maybe you're hitting the reset button all over again. Bryce Young obviously benched. They are going to, looks like, have a high draft slot. What do you think about the immediate future and the long-term future of Carolina after this move?
I wouldn't say they're hitting the reset button again. I think they've been sitting on it for about 3 years. So it doesn't really help. You know, I understand why they did it, because it's not for the draft pick. I mean, again, you're talking about like the difference between a late fifth and an early sixth. That's not a whole lot there. But you do save about $3.5 million, which you can roll into the offseason, and that's not a huge amount of money. It's not going to get you a star receiver or anything like that. But, you know, every little bit helps when you're really at the bottom of the barrel in terms of what you're trying to accomplish roster-wise. You know, the other concern is, depending on what their plan is for Bryce Young over the final couple months of the season, I mean, I know he was back in there because of Andy Dalton's thumb injury. I don't know how long that's going to last or what they plan to do when Dalton's eventually healthy enough to start. But, like, let's say Bryce Young does get a handful of more starts down the stretch. Taking quality receivers away from him isn't really going to help his development. Now, unless there's something going on behind the scenes in the locker room and they decided that Johnson just wasn't worth having there, then, you know, I would understand that aspect of it. But when you've got a young quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or Drake May or what have you, you know, a guy who is not necessarily in that Jaden Daniels spot where you have a chance to cruise to the playoffs, you know, you need help around him. Is it really worth trying to accumulate all those Saturday draft picks over the next several days when you're diminishing what you have around these young guys who you're trying to develop, and that should take precedent over every decision you're trying to make right now?
Jeff, with the trade deadline, next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, what are some – we're a pass rush deficient team. We do have Matthew Judon. And we got him obviously via trade before the season started, as you know. But what guys are out there that could help a defense in the pass rush category?
I think Za'Darius Smith is one who is probably the best pass rusher who's going to end up getting moved. I mean, there's, you know, Max Crosby, but the Raiders keep saying, you know, they'll tell anybody who will listen that they're not going to move him. And I would guess, this is just my own read, like Crosby's not going anywhere for probably less than 2 first-round picks. So you can probably take him off the board. You got to wonder about Hassan Reddick. Would he be available? I think he would be a good addition just because, you know, he's a guy who has had some postseason success, has played at a higher level with the Philadelphia Eagles, and has been on a pretty good run with the exception of this season for a few years. But, you know, I was asking around yesterday, and it's expected to be quiet now through Sunday night with maybe a little more activity because, you know, at this point, the teams buying are offering up Saturday picks. The teams selling want early Friday picks, and it's going to take a deadline to spur a little more action.
Hanging out with Jeff Howell, NFL writer for The Athletic. Jeff, I'm gonna praise a little bit, and then I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. I love your quarterback ranking. Yeah. I love your quarterback rankings, man. I always feel like I'm decently in line with kind of your thought process on how things are ranked and, you know, who's kind of at the top. I did have a problem this week, though. You had Kirk Cousins last week at 16. This week he slides back behind Dak Prescott at 17. Now, I personally think that Kirk had one of his better games of the season, yet he slides in the ranking. Maybe it has a little bit more to do with other quarterbacks going on. But How do you see Kirk Cousins' season? Why do you have him back at 17? And what do you think the rest of the season looks like for a guy like Kirk?
No, that's certainly a fair question. And I'm not surprised to get a little pushback on that one. I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing better. He's on an upward trajectory. I think the last time we spoke, I was a lot more concerned about where he was in terms of his ability to trust the Achilles and to kind of read the field and deliver throws with confidence. He's certainly doing a better job of that now. There's just tough pockets of quarterbacks in some of these rankings. You know, sometimes it's in that sort of mid-range 16 neighborhood. You know, sometimes it's in the 20s. There are other times, you know, 6 to 8 has been a battle. And I got people screaming at me a couple of weeks ago that Jared Goff was 8 and now he's 6. And it's, you know what, like the gap between 6 to 8 is actually, that's a pretty damn group of players. Yeah. There's no shame being up there. You know, more directly or more specifically with Kirk Cousins, you know, he dropped back, which, you know, it's weird when a guy plays well and they drop back a spot. It's usually more about the other players. I think Jalen Hurts is starting to play better. So he was one of the guys who moved up. And you've just got a sort of a crowded area that I've had for several weeks where you got Kyler Murray there at 12, down to about Kirk Cousins. You know, Matt Stafford is sitting there right behind him, and he had a rough go of it for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly get it. But, like, this is like it's the type of situation where I think if you look at that pocket between 12 and 17, you could make a case for those guys to go in any one of those spots. So, I get, like, the optics of falling back despite playing well. It's just some of these decisions are a little tougher, a little more, you know, quirky.
Fair enough.
Hey, Jeff, Kyle Pitts is, I think, having possibly his best four-game stretch of his career. After going catchless against New Orleans, he's had 21 catches for over 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns. How is he viewed nationally? Because I think a lot of fans here are kind of, it's a mixed bag with him.
Yeah, it's about the same. They're just like the rest, you know, people around the league are just like the rest of us. We're all just sort of waiting for Kyle Pitts to show what we thought we saw before the draft, and that was elite physical tools and just somebody who, you know, needs a some more of it to come together, just to get to that potentially elite tight end level. He's a guy who has a reputation for you need to get him involved early, or you wonder how involved he's going to be able to stay in the game as it kind of materializes. So I think that was kind of a big thing for Zach Robinson to do this season, was to try to make sure he gets in some early touches to keep him more engaged. And, Zach Robinson's a good offensive mind. I think that he's probably the best one that Pitts has had so far in his brief tenure with Atlanta. And I think Robinson is also continuing to find his own voice, his own comfortability in his first chance to have this play-calling role outside of the Sean McVay shadow. So, you know, the alignment of two guys who are kind of growing in this together, you know, obviously at different sort of ends of that spectrum, I think that's why you're starting to see it materialize. And then it goes back to Kirk Cousins, too, again, becoming more comfortable with the guys around him in the new situation.
Jeff, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about something that made headlines this week, which was Dan Campbell kind of teasing some a possible trade for the Lions, enough to make him kind of get some pep in his step while standing at the podium, jumping around. Do you have any thoughts on possibly who could maybe be ending up at the Lions?
I mean, I think it'd be great if it was Max Crosby, but, like we already talked about, I don't think it's realistic that he's going to move at this point. But, yeah, I mean, the way Dan Campbell was jumping around the other day, I thought they were about to acquire Lawrence Taylor, and I'm actually pretty shocked that there wasn't a move yesterday. I mean, that's just – They're so transparent about what they want, about who they want as a player, and they don't shy away from how aggressive they are. You know, you've got Brad Holmes coming from the Rams and the whole, you know, screw the draft picks mantra and all that stuff. And, you know, this is a team that is absolutely primed to win a Super Bowl. And they've been active on the pass rusher front over the last couple weeks. And again, I'm pretty surprised it didn't happen yesterday. I guess it probably comes down to what they were willing to pay and what these teams are kind of holding out for, because pass rushers are always going to draw a premium price, or as, you know, relatively speaking, for trade deadline prices. So you could just have a team that's saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know you're a contender. I'm not jumping up and down to try to help you right now. And maybe a guy goes down on Sunday, maybe we can drive the price up around. So I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of a stalemate. it's been a flurry of activity. I want to say about 8 trades over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So it looks like we're set for a potentially wild trade deadline. But I think you usually see this final stretch of about 5 days, you know, before the dust settles on that final Sunday before the trade deadline, where it's just a staring contest and everybody's waiting to see who blinks.
We know you'll be all over it, so I can't wait to see how this all shakes out, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate you guys.